from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, welcome to The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerap Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. Today I'll get a preview of the Actors Theater of Indiana's production of I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change.
I'll find out what's going on at this year's Broad Ripple Art Fair.
And I'll take a look at next year's Broadway in Indianapolis season. Plus, we'll also have our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. In the comedy I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change, you'll find everything you've secretly wanted to know about dating, mating, and marriage, but were afraid to ask. But is it a perfect date night play? Well, that's a good question, and one that Travis DiNicola asked of the Actors Theater of Indiana's Don Farrell and Paul Hansen.
Great to have you in right now, because I know you're opening this show in just the next week.
We are. We are thrilled. I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change. It's hysterical. I can't wait for everyone
I've
to
never
see
seen
it.
The show. And I remember when it first came out on Broadway or off Broadway, and I love the title. I've always loved the title. I've heard great reviews, you know, about it. It sounds like a ton of fun. And I think I know what it's about from the title, but help me understand it more. I mean, my guess is it's kind of about, it's a comedy about romance, relationships, and, I mean, am I in the right direction?
It is, yes.
Okay.
It's a musical review, but based on vignettes throughout and following the timeline of relationships from first dating to marriage in later years.
Okay.
So it, even though it, each individual vignette stands on its own, it kind of builds a full arc of relationship timeline. And hysterical. It started 1996 at the West Side Theater in New York City. And after 5,003 performances, I think it was, in 2008, they finally closed at the West Side.
Okay.
And it's the second longest off-Broadway running musical, second only to The Fantastics. So
that's
hysterical.
I didn't realize that. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And so first time that you're doing it, first time I'm in Indianapolis that I'm aware of.
It has been done one time before,
okay.
But we're thrilled to be able to be doing it at the Studio Theater at the Center for the Performing Arts
right.
under ATI. So, yeah, we're thrilled.
So, and something else that's special about this, I believe, is it that your old director is directing this? Or what's the story here?
Well, actually, I went to University of Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music, mm-hmm. CCM, and I graduated from there. And Terry LaBolt, who actually is a graduate of Ben Davis High School,
okay.
and a brilliant, brilliant musician, and he went on to do all sorts of wonderful things, Broadway, international, playing for all the greats, whether it be Carol Channing or Joel Grey or Ann Miller, Mickey Rooney, you name them, he's worked with them. And so he was the music director for the College Conservatory of Music for music theater department when I was there. My
okay.
first year was his first year as a professor.
Yeah.
And so fast forward to this, you know, then I graduated and he went on to do stuff and he did more stuff. And fast forward to now, and now he is, as of 2008, he is the music director for the music theater department at IU at Bloomington.
Excellent.
And so we were able to finally work out to working, you know, together outside of the student professor capacity.
Right.
So it's really kind of exciting.
That's pretty neat. So it's the first time that you're working in that way
mm-hmm.
together.
And he's
Excellent.
Our musical director and also playing the show as well.
Okay, well, very good. So, Paul, how did
yeah.
you get roped into all this?
Well,
you know, I'm used to thinking of you over at Dance Kaleidoscope and the work you do in arts administration and
oh, yeah.
and stuff, but here you are.
Well, here
the
I
Actors
am.
Actors Theater, yes.
You know, I love these guys.
Yeah.
I got to do Chicago with them last mm-hmm. year, and so they said, hey, you know, we're doing this wonderful little review show. Do you want to be a part of it? Because it's really great, actually. I go back and forth between being arts administrator and performer, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I love it all. I see it all as one gig. And I have to say, working with these guys, rehearsals with these guys is very much like, I don't know, like the Carol Burnett show. Because especially Don's wife, Judy, she and I crack each other up. And I know that energy is going to translate onto stage, and it's going to be a lot of fun for the audience, too.
It sounds like you guys are just having a really good time rehearsing this.
It's a blast. I mean, yeah.
It is. It's wonderful material. It's written very well. The lyrics are so poignant, and there's funny, you know, chestnut moments. But the scenarios and the situations are so funny. But also, there's really poignant moments too. Beautiful songs and scenes as well.
Okay, so I got to ask you guys: would it be a good date night play?
The perfect one.
Really?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
She's not going to go running?
Not at all. Actually, you know, funny, this show has it's known for having the most number of proposals happen. They actually built it into the show off Broadway. They had
a
moment where, yes, that people would kind of get in touch with it, let the production staff know, I really want to pop the question to my girl. So they would work it into the show. And it's the most... proposed show ever in New York.
That is too funny.
Yeah.
Wow. Really,
but it's a perfect date night show. Perfect.
Okay.
And it's not just for your tip, you know, your older crowds. It really does follow the, you know, dating game from the very beginning, you know, blind dates or first time dates. And it's just everybody can relate. It's universal in things.
No, it
it's
is perfect. A bit PG-13. Is that?
Well, it has more adult themes to it, but, you know, you're not going to see any people getting, you know, it's not going to go crazy.
Yeah.
PG-13 is safe. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Very good. and again, this is going to be in the Studio Theater up at the Center for the Performing Arts, your new home, and really great space to do shows in. How's that working out for you?
Wonderful. Wonderful. One of the things we love about the Studio Theater is because it creates such an intimate, it is intimate in and of itself as a venue, and it really allows the audience to have a very unique experience, not really like any other experience here in Central Indiana, which is
so intimate. I mean,
it really is,
and which is a really interesting space to do a musical in, I find. I mean, because usually you think musicals are going to be on, you know, a big stage and so much larger and bigger and stuff. But to do, I mean, does it change the way that you approach the musical?
I think it does. Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, you can't hide behind the big production values. It's got to be out there, and you're pretty raw as far as you have to be completely honest with it. And I think that's one of the challenges about this musical in and of itself, because it is so vignette, that you have such a limited amount of time to immediately create characters, but you have to have honesty underneath it too, because you don't have a full, you know, 2 hour time span for audiences to really develop each character. Each one of these vignettes are like their own individual one act play.
Paul,
so
can you tell me one of your favorites that you like doing in this?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Give us a little preview, a little hint. Without giving too much away.
I've got a few favorite moments. One of them is a stud and a babe, because, you know, let's face it, people who know me in Indianapolis, you know I'm a dork, all right? So I get to play a dork, but there's like this fantasy thing, and plus I get to do it with Judy, and we have a blast. The other thing that I love doing is called the marriage tango, and it's all about, you know, how we were talking about scheduling right before we started taping this, how, you know, gosh, we're doing this and this and this, how a couple, when they're raising kids and taking care of the bills and, you know, the household and family matters, how they find time for each other. And it's hilarious. And I got to do that with Cindy Collins. And, you know, it's like working with Carol Burnett. I love it.
How fun. And I would never call you a dork, Paul. I mean...
Thank you. You're very kind.
On radio, you don't look like one at all. So, it sounds like a lot of fun. It opens next weekend, runs through May 20th.
May 20th, yeah. We open the 27th, run through May 20th. And, you know, we have something going on right now. If you go to our Facebook page and like us between now and the 25th, we're going to have some drawings of those who have liked us, and then go in for a drawing for 2 free tickets to come see the show and a free date night on ATI.
Nice.
So, yeah, I encourage everybody to go to our Facebook page and,
cool.
and like
so just
us.
Look for Actors Theater of Indiana on Facebook, find that, like it, and be entered to win.
Absolutely.
Excellent. And then you guys also have a lot of news about your upcoming season as well.
We do. We just announced, we were able to announce it to our patrons and subscribers, our previous, but we were just able to announce it to the public now. And it's all on our website, www.actorstheaterofindiana.org.
Okay.
And you can go and click on, there's a subscription form you can download. and get that in. But for our 2012-2013 season, we are thrilled to we have the rights to do Gypsy.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting our season
Great
off
show.
With Gypsy in the Studio Theater. It's going to be very unique. Well, one of the things that, like with Chicago, when
mm-hmm.
we did that as our
sure, I mean,
inaugural
show
production,
that's
a very big show
yeah.
in an intimate space. And one of the things we're trying to start doing a little bit more of is taking some of these big musicals and try to kind of re-envision them in a way and get
mm-hmm.
back to the story, telling what the story is about.
Okay.
And it's going to be, we're really excited about that. That's going to be September 7th through the 30th. And then October 26th to November 18th, we're doing a new musical called Route 66, which is a high-energy musical review by Roger Bean. If you, the one of the shows that we did last year, which was the Andrews Brothers,
yeah, right,
hysterical
sure.
show over
okay.
the summer, last summer, and this is another show by him, and it's all the
Sounds
rock and
like
roll
a lot
hits
of good road
of the 20th century. Yep,
nice.
And then. February 1st to the 24th, we're doing the musical of musicals, The Musical. It's a great, wonderful show. It takes the age-old story of you must pay the rent. I can pay the rent. You must. I can. You know, that story. And then tells that story in five different types of musicals based on the stylings
okay.
of, you know, one style is going to be like in the style of Rodgers and Hammerstein, so it's a whole
Got
new
it.
Take on that.
Some musical one. Fans will just love this.
They'll love it. Yeah. They'll love it. And then we close out, that's February 1st to the 24th, and then we close out our season May 10th to June 9th with My Fair Lady, another re-envisioned show. There's a great 10-cast person
Neat.
With dueling pianos, two mm-hmm. Grand pianos, and gets back down to the story. So it re-envisioned, but it's all back, you know, Pygmalion, a wonderful,
yeah.
brilliant story.
Very, very
so we're
good.
Thrilled by the season.
Excellent. Well, it's really, you guys have really grown quite a lot past few years, but it seems as though, you know, since you've been able to take over the space and make the Studio Theater your home at the Center for the Performing Arts, it's just, you've blossomed.
It's been a humbling experience, to be honest with you. You know, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, as with any business,
mm-hmm.
any new organization or business. But by being at the Center for the Performing Arts, all of our patrons that we've been developing over these years at being different venues around town, now that we're in one location, we've been getting a lot of first-timers coming. So the exposure has been great. We
mm-hmm.
have one location now where people get to know, oh, I know where you are. We don't have to learn where you are now.
Right.
And they're also tied in with the Center for the Performing Arts, how exciting that is. And
mm-hmm.
the great thing about our venue at the studio is that you park in the parking garage. You don't, if it's raining outside, you don't ever have to go
right
outside.
Right.
You
sure.
go take the elevator down the lobby, you go to the right, there's the Studio Theater. It's perfect. It's perfect. So we're thrilled about that. And
Very
we've been
good.
Having the momentum, the synergy. We have new sponsors that have been that coming on board. Really a lot of support. Pedcor. We have new warehouse space, a new office space that's now we'll be able to consolidate. We're not always having our meetings at local coffee establishments all over town. Now we're able to have offices. We have two men in a truck who are now our official movers, so they're helping us transport our scenic elements to the Studio Theater from our warehouse and scene shop. So really a lot of great momentum.
And Don, remind me, how long has Actors Theater of Indiana been here? I mean, you came with you and your wife and
Cynthia Collins.
Cynthia Collins started it. What? It's been about 10 years now.
It's actually 2005 is
okay.
when we started. March of 2005, and so we're going into our eighth year.
Eighth year. Okay.
So we're really it's been a short amount of time. There's been a lot of growth, so it's been very exciting.
Travis DiNicola with Actors Theater of Indiana's Don Farrell and Paul Hansen. I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change runs from April 27th through May 20th at the Studio Theater at the Center for the Performing Arts. Visit ActorsTheaterOfIndiana.org for more information, and theater is spelled with an R-E at the end, so ActorsTheaterOfIndiana.org. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
It's spring for certain when you start to make plans for the Broad Ripple Art Fair. Sharon Gamble invited fair director Patrick Flaherty in to learn more about the Indianapolis Art Center's largest event, which takes place this year on May 19th and 20th, with a preview party on May 18th.
So, how many Broad Ripple Art Fairs have there been? I've lost count.
This will be the 42nd.
Holy moly. How long have you been responsible for Broad Ripple Art Fair?
This is my second year as the director of the fair, although I did a lot with the artist before that. So this will be my eighth fair.
Yeah. What is the hardest part of organizing the fair?
You know, we have such a great team and such a great staff, and all of my committee chairs do so wonderful. I guess the hardest part is coming up with ways to keep it fresh and to keep it interesting for people that want to keep coming back.
Mm-hmm. And to that end, you've got you've increased the number of offerings for kids this year.
We have. We partner with Prism, the artist supply store, and they help us by providing materials and support. But we have, I've moved some things around to where our education department as well as our outreach department are going to be working closely with them to develop the activities. And so imagination is the theme. And so the activities that you can now do in the three kids areas are going to be a little bit more akin to what you would find at like an art center day camp or instructor-led class.
Yeah. One of my favorite things, both at the fair and at some of your other activities, like your Day of the Dead celebration, is to see little kids who've maybe made something in clay and they have to wait for it to cure a little bit, and then they go back and they pick it up, and they're so proud of it, and they're carrying it around showing everybody.
Yeah, we will have activities inside the building as well as the ever-popular Spin-A-Pot, where you can pay a small fee, and then they've actually added there will be a ceramic tile painting activity as well. So there will be some things going on in the building. There'll actually be activities in all of the classrooms. Some of them will be more demo as opposed to activities. But
like glass blowing, where
exactly.
You don't want somebody to just walk in off the street and try it.
Right.
Your insurance folks would, well, they
no,
might
No, last year, because the
that.
Glass studio was being renovated, we had a glass demo outside, and
yeah.
That actually created some, nothing went wrong, but it was definitely the insurance people were a little
nervous,
concerned.
Yeah. Art can be dangerous. If you've said this to your children, you're right.
Yeah.
What is you've got a community art project this year. Tell me about that.
The community art project, we actually applied and were funded from the NEA.
Congratulations.
And so, yeah,
that's
thanks
a big deal.
Very much. We are going to be having an artist in residency in the fall. They'll stay with us for a week. And so we're currently soliciting people to apply for that. It's a nationwide call. And what this artist is going to do is work with we haven't exactly ironed it out until we see what the project is, but they
sure.
will be working with the public, and that's an integral part in that every proposal to even be considered must explain how they are going to work with the public. We'll choreograph that a little bit to make it accessible, but for 1 week the artist will be, and so we'll have time set up where people could just literally walk off the Monon and get involved if they wanted to, but there'll also be structured opportunities for different, perhaps some outreach groups or students of the art center themselves, but the whole concept is that it's not just an artist coming in and making a site-specific piece, but they're actually doing it with the community.
So it might be somebody creates the design for a mural, but I get to help actually create the mural.
Sure. A good example
of
it is the artist Patrick Doherty, which the piece is no longer at the art center, but a lot of people call it the Stick House. But his kind of model is that he's the brains behind the operation, but the
yeah.
more people that get involved, the bigger piece you get. So it could be modular, where someone is doing a repetitious thing, and the more people that get involved, the more things get made, and the bigger the sculpture is.
Cool.
But that's what's exciting to me as the kind of the project manager for that is we don't know what it's going to be yet. So
people can drop in with their ideas during the Broadway Art Fair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I need to back up. That community project during the art fair is actually different, so maybe
oh,
we can edit this.
Well, we're going to leave it because I'm eager to hear about the
other
one as
well. Late fall. So
yeah, okay.
The
one that's happening at the actual art fair, though,
is a
mini community art
it
project.
It is, well, and it's ongoing. We have our Skip McKinney Faculty of the Year this year went to Sophia Inger, who mm-hmm. is obviously Art Center instructor, and she will be having a solo exhibition in the Alan Clues Gallery at the Indianapolis Art Center this winter, starting in December.
Mm-hmm.
And she's making a structure. She's actually going to take the gallery and turn it into, let's just call it like a yurt, although it's not, but
right,
it's kind
right.
of to get your mind going in that direction. But you're going to enter this real formal gallery, and it's all of a sudden you're going to walk into some structure that's made out of fiber and all these things. But what she's doing to collect the fiber pieces is actually making art about other community members' stories, about she's just collecting all this information.
Oh.
And it's kind of nebulous at this point because she herself is, it's a journey to make this. But what she wants is she didn't just want to sit in her studio and make something, hang it on the wall and present it. She wants people to be involved. So she's going to be in one of the studios during the Broad Ripple Art Fair with her you know, she does lots of dye transfers and different things like using natural and organic materials mm-hmm. to make marks on fabric. And then she's collecting stories to weave those in somehow. Again, her idea is evolving, but yeah. she's going to be available and encouraging people to come into that studio and have an experience with her. And I don't exactly have the details. We're actually meeting early next week to kind of talk more about that.
Sure.
But that is a lot of what's fun about those kind of activities is once the artist embarks on it, they grow and evolve and change. And she does have a Facebook page about the project, uh-huh. and her name is Sophia Inger. That's I-N-G-E-R.
Mm-hmm. So. And Sophia, S-O-F-I-A. So actually, I'm seeing that might be a great reason to come on Saturday and get your return wristband and come back on Sunday. You might visit with Sophia on Saturday, and you might cook up an idea where you bring back a family photograph to her. Or you know, I'm
absolutely.
Not, I'm pulling things out of the air because
no,
it's evolving.
That's,
yeah.
that's wonderful. And that being said, you know, we implemented the second day pass back in it last year, and it was, you know, very popular. And because we have, you know, three stages of entertainment plus a kids stage, and then we have all kinds of wonderful food. And this year we are going to have kid food offerings, which is exciting.
Oh, but pigs in blankets.
Yeah, stuff like that. But with all the things going on, it's almost, even though, you know, 225 artists and what used to be the student sale, which is now called the emerging artist area. And the fact that in order to kind of help people along that this is an Indianapolis Arts Center event, because mm-hmm. a lot of people at the fair don't know what the Indianapolis
yeah,
Arts Center is.
Yeah, they don't connect to it.
We've opened up the Inside Studios with things like Sophia's activity. The 2D instructors are going to be demoing and having some hands-on things. We have the glass blowing. We might be able to do an aluminum casting of a scratch mold.
Ooh.
The Spin-A-Pot, which is popular. The painting of ceramic tile. And then we actually are taking one studio and making it into a family room, which is a changing station and a place for nursing mothers to have
oh,
a little respite.
Oh, that's brilliant.
But anyway, with all of this going on, it really is a two-day event.
Yeah.
And so for the price you pay, and I mean, advance tickets is obviously the way to do it.
Right.
But if you pay at the gate on Saturday, you're not going to be short of things to do and find new things to look at. And, you know, so you might meet with Sophia on Saturday. You might, if you come both days too, if you're going to make a bigger purchase from an artist, it's a great way to go back home and look at the space where you thought it might go, talk it over with your spouse or partner
right.
or whatnot, and just – or think on it.
Right, right.
And so, it, you know, we look at it as a – I mean, it's definitely a – it's a year-round event for me. It's a two-day
yeah, right.
It's a two-day event, though, for the public, and we encourage that. And we also have, for the second year this year, we have the preview party.
Yeah.
And the preview party is Friday night. It's from 6 to 8 p.m., and we open up three areas in the northwestern corner, the kind of forest area, the Grove and the Artist Green, and then the booths that are right behind the Art Center on the terrace. And there's some nice food. You get drinks, and for that price of that ticket, you also can come back Saturday and Sunday. So it's a way to have kind of first dibs
sure.
and to see a select bit of the fair. And Indianapolis Power and Light is sponsoring that. Fifth Third Bank sponsors is our title sponsor of the entire art fair. But it was great to pick up that added support. And it's a great opportunity for the artists in those areas. And it's kind of a reward for those artists because they're the ones that can't park their car in front of their spot to load in and all these things.
I was
going to
ask how you selected.
And it's yeah. because of logistics, just because, you know, the Art Center is a staff of just right around 25 people.
Right.
And I can only, you know, ask so much of everyone to give up the weekend as it is. We just don't have the manpower to open the entire fair.
Sure.
And so we've selected the Green Terrace and Grove because they're naturally contained. And
right.
so it's easy to get those staff that, because, you know, most of the staff, I feel, really enjoy. It's a fun weekend, and so it's not hard to get people to volunteer to work that extra night, but I just can't open the fair on Friday.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. It's okay. And you made a great point that the public only sees just truly the tip of the iceberg of what is involved in putting on the fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's a labor of love year-round for you, and
yeah,
it's your
yeah.
work. Part of your work year-round for you.
Right, right. And really, too, I mean, I have such great staff help, and it truly isn't – it's not just the biggest fundraiser for the Indianapolis Arts Center. It's an all-staff event.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we joke that we take June off and then start working on it in July. But, I mean, I'm usually working with Lisa DeHaze, the director of marketing. We're scheming right in June as to how to get this thing up and running. And then – you know, working with my artist chair, Kyle Harrington, you know, we've got the call out online, you know, we've got that written by August. And,
sure.
you know, we're going through policy reviews of, because we're constantly trying to, what we really try to do, the original mission of the fair was one artist, one at a time. And it really, it wouldn't be an art fair without the artist. And so that's, you asked earlier, what was the hardest part? Perhaps the hardest part is being as ethical as possible. And when you have basically a 25% chance of jurying into the fair, we have five jurors each year that judge these scores at a projected public jury, which is usually in the middle of February and it's open to the public. So just as an aside,
yeah.
if you ever want to see just all the images up on a screen of this, it's great. But anyway, all that being said, we're constantly reviewing best practices, and I attend national conferences on art fairs just to talk about, because there's the show promoter side, and then because we're a non-for-profit, it's a little bit different because we're trying to keep the art center funded.
Right.
I'm not trying to line my own pockets, so that helps. But the but a lot of art fair promoters are. But there's also the artist side. And what we've found is we're becoming more and more attractive to better, more professional, more talented artists. But we are trying to keep it that these are people that literally make it themselves. And it
right.
might be a team of two people, but we don't let anything bigger than that.
No mass production.
Exactly. And that idea is that, you know, there's nothing bad about small business, but we like micro business at the art fair. You know, we want these truly unique individuals.
Sharon Gamble with Broad Ripple Art Fair Director Patrick Flaherty. This year's fair is on May 19th and 20th with a preview party on May 18th. You can buy tickets online at INDPLSArtCenter.org, or just Google Indianapolis Arts Center or Broad Ripple Art Fair.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, Sharon.
I know your weekend is all about the letter N because
so
it's the weekend of the Alphabet Affair sponsored by the letter N, but our calendar segment today is sponsored by the color green, and you'll find out why in just a moment. That's our regular listeners know that that's the cue for our calendar we call
What'll We Do? Special Pledge and Earth Day edition. That's where all the green
right.
comes in.
That's all the green.
Pledge your green and celebrate your green.
Exactly right. You may drink green beer while you're doing it if you care to. You may green lawn if you want to. But the important thing is we would love to have your green mm-hmm. or whatever color your credit card or debit card
sure.
might happen to be in support of what we do at WFYI. You can do that by making a phone call at 1-800-233-0020. Or you can go to WFYI.org, make a safe, secure, and fast online contribution. In fact, we know you. We know you can multitask. You can do that while you listen to the rest of our calendar.
That's right. Absolutely. Now is a great time to do it. And even though as much as we wish we had, Travis and Sharon bobbleheads to offer you as a thank you gift for making your pledge during Art of the Matter, please know that the station does keep track of when pledges are made. And it's really important, especially if you love this show, to make a pledge during a local show and say, hey, we support local broadcasting, because it is literally your dollar is going to work to make sure that Sharon and I are here each and every week with Art of the Matter and, of course, our calendar, What'll We Do? And so we just want to say thank you. If you've already made your pledge or you're about to, sorry, we can't give you the Sharon and Travis bobblehead, but, you know, maybe we would, like, call you up on your answering machine and say, What'll We Do?
We could come and bobble our heads.
Sure, we could do that, too. We could do a live bobblehead performance.
Oh, no, we're stealing Carl Castle's gig.
But it is. If now is a good time to make that pledge, then we ask that you do so by calling 1-800-233-0020 or giving online on WFYI.org. And particularly if you've never given before, it is a great time to do it at whatever level you are comfortable with giving. And if you want to spread it out throughout the year and do installments, that's a real nice way to make a smaller pledge each month that adds up to a more significant amount. You can check out all the great thank you gifts, of course, on WFYI.org. But it is important that you make your pledge now.
And don't be scared. If you're a first-time pledger, don't worry. It's not that scary.
No. Not at all.
We'll walk you through it. Hey, speaking of green, we were talking about Earth Day a moment ago.
Mm-hmm.
You can have an extended play Earth Day celebration by participating in an event on Saturday, May 12th from 11 to 4 at the Indianapolis City Market. If you are an artist who likes to put together found materials or found objects, In other words, if you work in recyclable or recycled materials,
I see where this is going. Mm-hmm.
You see that? The EcoFest Indy would love for you to contact them. You can go to ecofestindy.com or email publisher@ecofestindy.com. There's a $25 fee, entry fee that covers your exhibit space, basically, but it also allows you to sell your products. And if you're not an artist working in recycled media, well, you can just go and maybe buy some or at least look at it. Again, Saturday, May 12th from 11 to 4 is when that event is. If you're an artist and you want to participate, go to ecofestindy.com now. Very soon.
Very soon. Very soon. Hey, some other cool things to do to celebrate Earth Day. There's a big celebration going on at Purdue. Actually, it's through Purdue. It's at the JCC. Excuse me. You don't even have to go all the way to Purdue. You can save that gas, which is even better, because what they're having up there on display at the JCC, the Jewish Community Center up on Hoover Road, is the display of Purdue University's award-winning solar race car.
I love that solar car.
Yeah, the solar car is going to be up there, and they're also having tons of activities throughout the day, all day on Sunday, the 22nd, to celebrate Earth Day, including different things run by, of course, Keep Indianapolis Beautiful, as well as pretty much all the other universities in town, and lots of other great groups, and the Circle City Rain Barrels. People be out there making rain barrels, and Natural Awakenings Magazine, and Indiana Living Green, and you can pedal and park, so you could ride your bike up there, and they have all types of events going on all day long to celebrate Earth Day. However, if you're looking for perhaps a little bit different type of way to celebrate Earth Day on Sunday, then maybe you should consider going out to Connor Prairie. Because at Connor Prairie this weekend, they are recreating the Bicentennial War of 1812. And so... It's not exactly quite Earth
Wait,
Day.
Wait, the Earth Day connection is...
There's really none other than
it's
taking place.
You're going to be out on the Earth.
You're on the Earth. That's okay. What it is. So it's commemorating the historic battle on April 22nd. And for the first time ever, Connor Prairie will be exploring another era of war prior to the Civil War, and to get a firsthand daily experience as life as a soldier in the early 19th century with reenactments, as well as you can participate in infantry drills and watch artillery demonstrations and hear great stories, and that's all going on at Connor Prairie this weekend.
History brought to life.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, back to Earth Day for a second.
Sure.
It just occurred to me another way that Earth Day and becoming a member of WFYI are alike. You ready for this?
And you can become a member by calling 1-800-233-0020. But what is that, Sharon?
Oh, you picked up your cue. Thank you. Or go to WFYI.org. Well, you know, sometimes people think being green is kind of an all or nothing proposition. It's, you know, black or white. There's no shades of gray in between. And that's so not true.
Or shades of green.
Or shades of green in between. You know, you can start small. You can start with recycling. You can start with, say, a compost bin. You don't have to learn, you know, raise sheep and spin the wool and knit your own clothes. I mean,
lay your own eggs.
Lay your own eggs. That's right. But you similarly, we'd love for you to make a $25,000 commitment to WFYI, but if that doesn't suit you, start small. Start with whatever fits your budget. You know you want to do it. You know you want to renew your pledge or maybe make an additional gift. Or, you know, it is the season of graduations. We're getting into that cycle. How about a membership in honor of your favorite college or grad school graduate?
Oh, there you go. That's a great idea. It's a great gift, too.
WFYI.org. You can do that online or 1-800-233-0020.
Very, very cool. Excellent. Hey, something really kind of fun going on next weekend you can start planning for now. In fact, you want to get your tickets right away. Indiana Landmarks is presenting their rescue party to reconnect, restore, and revitalize. And it is featuring a whole bunch of fun things, including the Cook Cup for Outstanding Restoration, as well as their first cocktail competition with bartenders from the Ball and Biscuit and Libertine and St. Elmo. Also, the Revival exhibit by Kip Norman with his really cool recycled materials that he creates some fantastic constructions with. And then you've also got Sun King Brewery is going to be there, and the announcement of the 10 most endangered places in 2012, and there's food and desserts and dancing to the Impalas, and all this takes place next Saturday, April 28th at Indiana Landmarks, and it is definitely worth checking out, and you can get more information there at Indiana Landmarks as well. Definitely it's going to be a great party, great fundraiser for them.
Cool. Travis, I discovered something that you and I should have invented. Regular listeners know that we have a fondness for beer.
We do.
Especially microbrewed beer. There is something called the Indie Brew Bus. Do you know about this?
No, tell me more.
It's fairly new, but you're intrigued.
It sounds very green friendly.
It's very green friendly because you're going to hop on board a bus.
Hops?
Yeah, hops on board the bus. Yeah, thank you for working with me here.
Okay.
And you're going to visit multiple craft breweries in Indianapolis. Each brewery offers a wide variety of samples, including house, seasonal, and specialty beers. Each tour visits at least three local breweries, spending about 45 minutes at each location. You can order a pint of your favorite or get a growler to go. They'll keep it cold for you on the brew bus. Each tour has room for 14 passengers, so grab your friends and check that out right now. Tours are Thursday evenings, Friday evenings. There's two on Saturday at noon and 3:30, one on Sunday afternoon. IndieBrewBus.com. Yes, microbrewing is an art. Don't ask me why I included that.
That's
this is an
fun
art form.
Okay, very
IndieBrewBus.com.
Fair enough. Then I'm going to throw in one as well that I think is an art, and that is the art of croquet, at least the way it's celebrated at the Benjamin Harrison Presidential Site. And this year they are having it's a whole day of croquet events on June 16th. It's not too early to start planning. Usually there's always the competition. That's still taking place this year, but they're also having a kids croquet with Alice, as in Alice in Wonderland. That Queen for a Croquet is the name of the event that takes place in the morning that's specifically for kids and their parents and friends to participate in. There's also an event in the evening that's a little bit more of a casual croquet mixer, if you will. And there's lots of information if you go to the President Benjamin Harrison site. If you visit them online, you can find out more about all the different ways to celebrate croquet in June. I'm already thinking about croquet. You know, the weather's turning good.
I can tell. Hey, you know, there's someone coming to town who's in that great tradition of operatic singers who can also make the crossover into popular music and torch songs. I'm thinking in particular of Sylvia McNair, but it's Maureen O'Flynn who's coming back to town. She's been featured in roles at the Indianapolis Opera to great acclaim. She's a great crowd favorite. But she is coming as part of the Cabaret at the Columbia Club series on April 27th at 8 o'clock, and she's going to do music by Jerome Kern, Cole Porter, Sondheim, and, as they say, many, many more. So you can find out more about Maureen O'Flynn's performance at Cabaret at the Columbia Club.
Very good. Yeah, I love Cabaret at the Columbia Club. Good stuff. Hey, something pretty cool that the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library is doing as part of their book club. It's a regular book club that meets. And next week, on April 26th, because they're reading the book Going All the Way by Hoosier author Dan Wakefield, who recently moved back here, Mr. Wakefield is going to be joining them for the discussion that is taking place at the Kurt Vonnegut Memorial Library in downtown Indianapolis on Senate Street, and it is at 11:30 on the 26th. So if you want to join the book club, if you've never been to the Vonnegut Memorial Library, now's a good time to go, and you can also meet Mr. Dan Wakefield.
He is so cool.
Yeah, very
great.
Neat.
Great guy. Hey, you know who really likes books? Terry Gross.
Yes, she does.
And if you are one of those people who says, I love to listen to Fresh Air, gotta hear Terry Gross, gotta hear her. Gotta hear her conversations with actors, directors, scientists, authors, you name it. Remember, your pledge helps us carry syndicated programming as well as create our local programming.
So true.
And The Art of the Matter is very much local. But just a reminder, how could you miss it? But just in case you missed it, we are in our spring membership campaign, and you can join up at 1-800-233-0020.
Or you can give online at wfyi.org. There is, of course, still time to support all your favorite, both the national programs as well as the local programs, like, of course, the one you're listening to right now. Well, Sharon, we only have just a moment of time left before we... Yes, yes, yes. But I do want to just take one moment moment here, and that is if people are thinking about their Derby Day parties for of course, the Kentucky Derby is coming up on May 5th. I know somebody who is looking for a hat maker, and that person happens to be named Sharon Gamble. And so if you are a hat maker and interested in participating in the Landmarks Derby Day party on the 5th at Veristel, then contact Sharon at sgamble@indianalandmarks.org. Try to contact her by Monday to get her the information if you are a hat maker, because she needs one.
I need hats.
You need hats. And we need your pledge. So one more time, 1-800-233-0020.
Or WFYI.org. And thank you in advance. We'll be back next week with more of that calendar we call
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
Broadway in Indianapolis has announced its 2012-2013 season, and it includes an interesting mix of old and new school musicals. Travis DiNicola spoke with Leslie Broker, the president of Broadway in Indianapolis, to find out more.
I gotta say, this is a pretty cool season you've got.
You know, it's always, whenever I'm putting together a season, it's always a bit like a jigsaw puzzle. When will the shows be in our neighborhood, mm-hmm. and when will the theaters have the dates available for us to be able to use? So, you know, we start planning a couple of years out at least, and okay. so when it comes together like it did, you know, it's one of those, it's like the perfect cake mix.
Well, I was really impressed because, I mean, even though you've got some, you know, sort of more traditional musicals in here, there's an edgier feel to it than perhaps the past few seasons. I mean, you guys always have a great season with Broadway in Indianapolis, bringing these shows here from Broadway across America. But this season's a little edgy, I think.
That's an interesting point that you make. When we were looking at it, of course, with the West Side Story revival, that one was made to be a bit more gritty. It's the brand new production off of Broadway, the revival that just ran, and you know they incorporated Spanish language into it, which is mm-hmm. you know certainly you know obvious and appropriate. But they also, I think, added grit that wouldn't play back in its original day. And so I think it probably feels closer to what was originally envisioned, but perhaps not permissible at the time. So
sure.
I think it's terrific to get that type of production. And of course, you know, that leads me straight into American Idiot, which Green Day's music and the edgy, gritty rock and roll show that just played Broadway. So I think we're very lucky to get it so quick after it just had its run there.
That was the other thing that I noticed about this the 2012-13 season is that really all the shows here are newer shows, more recent shows it seems. I mean, even, you know, as you said, West Side Story is the new version of that. American Idiot, Sister Act, Jersey Boys was here a couple years ago, but it's great to have back. I mean, that still, you know, feels very new. And Billy Elliot the musical. So why don't we maybe start at the top, because Billy Elliot's the first one that opens at Old National Center in November. Tell me a bit
sure.
about that one. I mean, a lot of people love the movie. And
well, exactly. You said it. I think that a lot of folks will remember the movie. It's been some time since the movie was out, but when this show hit Broadway, it was destined to be a blockbuster. It's got triple cast kids, because when you have children in shows, mm-hmm. they're still doing school and the whole nine yards, so it's a very robust cast, if you will.
Well, I want to stop you there, because I've heard this is an extremely hard show for the boys who play the lead of Billy Elliot, that it's they just have to be so talented and so on it, but it's a really tough show for them to do.
It's a tough show. There are three Billies that will rotate through the show, and it's tough on the producers of the show because Billy can't grow up, and so we're finding that the dancers of that age that have, you know, that level of talent are of an age where they're growing fast. So it's been my understanding that they are casting nonstop because of both
wow.
the rigors of the role and the growth of the kids.
And I think most of the boys that played are usually, what, around 10 years old or so?
I think that it depends. I mean, I think they would rather have a little boy who is more like 13, 14,
okay,
but can play 10.
Got it. Okay.
I think if the younger they can play, the better the older they are, if that makes sense.
Sure, of course.
So, yes, but it's a fabulous show. Not exactly a family show because it's got some dialogue in it. I mean, it's a tough story about a boy who's going against the grain and wants to be a ballet dancer and not a boxer or some other more, mm-hmm, you know, traditional male role. So it's wonderful. It took Broadway by storm, no question about it.
And great music from Elton John. So very fun show.
And I think you'll find through this whole season that there's a through line of fabulous composers, and you just hit on the first one.
So tell me about Sister Act, because that one in some ways is a little bit of the odd man out or odd woman out, I suppose, in
exactly
this year's season. But, of course, a lot of people remember the Whoopi Goldberg film.
And Sister Act is on Broadway now. It's been playing about a year and a half. Great reviews. It's fun. I mean, it stays very, very close to the book or it stays very close to the movie. But the book, I think, propels it forward. The songs have you know, the enthusiasm and excitement that we remember from the great movie. And I mean, it's a hard one to improve upon. But I always think a live experience is the best experience, and this one does it for sure.
Neat. Very good. And then you had mentioned earlier Green Day's American Idiot. That I can't wait to see. I've heard so many interesting things about this. Now, some people may not be familiar with Green Day, a rock band. American Idiot is actually a musical based on their album.
Correct. And I will be one of those who will say, oops, I've aged out of the rock and roll hipster mode, and I didn't know anything about the show. I'm a Tony voter, so I'm very fortunate in that I go to New York each year to preview all the shows, obviously, before we book them. I walked in, I really didn't know the music. I knew one number, but the movement and the staging and the kind of in-your-face message of American Idiot was it grabs you, and it's something that, you know, that I think people relate to at least certain characters within the show. Again, it's got some language that's going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some subject matter that's tough. But it with the music woven through it, it's an entertaining evening that, you know, frankly, we've had a lot of folks asking to see, and I only have the show booked in Indianapolis in this entire region.
Wow.
So if anybody's going to want to see it, Indianapolis is where they're going to have to go.
You know, do me a favor, if you will, because, you know, a lot of people know, you know, Billy Elliot, the story of the kid who wants to be a dancer, Sister Act, the woman who's, you know, on the run as a nun and hiding out. A lot of people may not be familiar with the sort of the basic storyline premise of American Idiot, and even, you know, the title may be a little bit off-putting if you're like, you know, what's that about? So,
well, and honestly, I mean, this, I can tell you the premise, which are our friends who are really questioning where they are in life and where they want to be, and are they secure, you know, living the rest of their lives out in suburbia, or was life supposed to be something more meaningful, and in a post 9/11 world, you know, what exactly is that journey for you? Some folks say the interpretation of the show is one person, so I think there's, you know, sort of a theoretical or philosophical side to this, open to interpretation of what the show's about, to be
okay.
honest with you.
Okay. Cool. Well, it sounds like it's going to be really interesting. And a lot of people, as you said, are going to want to see this, and it'll be great that Indianapolis is the only place in the region where you can get to see it.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, we've got Jersey Boys coming back, which, Leslie, I got to tell you, when I went to see Jersey Boys originally a couple years back, I did not expect much. I thought, you know, the music's okay. I was never really a big, fan of that style of music and stuff. And I've heard the show's good. I went to see it. I fell in love with that show in the first 5 minutes and just kept on loving it more. And then, you know, went back again and took my parents. And I mean, it is such a phenomenal show.
I think it's one of those. I mean, just like you, I went to see a Saturday matinee in New York. Didn't think, you know, I thought, I'm just going to see Jersey Boys, not exactly my music.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a single ticket and went back that night because it was, you know, I don't know if it's the way that the guy that wrote the book for that musical, that was his first musical. And for him to be able to take us on this journey,
mm-hmm.
in some cases a very familiar journey, and for other people, a brand new journey, introducing people to them, the fact that we could all ride that parallel track, if you will, and end up in this place of, I want to see it again, I think, you know, is absolutely fabulous and, a testament to why the show has been running as long as it has on Broadway.
Yeah, it's really exciting. It's great that it's coming back because I know a lot of people wanted to see it. The last time was in Indianapolis back in 2010, and it was pretty much, it was sold out, I believe, the whole run. So this will give people a chance to see it again, or if they missed it the first time around.
That's right. Tickets were very tight, but it's one of those shows that people want to come back and see. I equate sort of the style of popularity, if you will, to Mamma Mia.
Yeah,
in that it's one that maybe you didn't expect so much, but you go and have fun. And frankly, in Jersey Boys, you learn a lot about those guys. I mean, you may have never understood the story or the bond that Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons had. And when you leave, you've got it down. You know it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, as you do this, you know, putting together the season, Leslie, and you, as you mentioned, you get a chance to see a whole lot of shows and things. And of course, you're looking at, you know, what's the availability of the theaters in town of the shows that are going to be coming around and sort of, you know, putting together almost like a puzzle. But what other things are you looking for in terms of thinking that, you know, Indianapolis audiences want?
We look at it from several different perspectives. Our customers or the people that support the theater tend to either be subscribers or folks who pick their shows one by one and want to come. So the first thing that I'm doing is I'm looking at a package. I don't want a package of shows or a collection of four or five shows that don't complement one another. For example, I don't think you want a season of all revivals.
Mm-hmm.
You also probably don't want a season of all the newest shows from Broadway because perhaps they haven't found their place, and perhaps that's not – people like their comfort zone, I think. So
sure.
I think to put in a West Side Story or a Fiddler on the Roof, you go, you know, it's kind of – it's like a four-course meal. You know exactly what's coming, and you're satisfied at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as you said about
Jersey,
what
to expect. Yep.
You know what to expect. But as you pointed out earlier with regard to Jersey Boys, I also think the shows that sometimes have the potential to deliver the most wonderful experience to an audience is the unexpected. And for you, that time, Jersey Boys was unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
So as I go through here, I know that Sister Act has that sort of unexpected excitement and fun that will come through. Billy Elliot will do the same. So it's looking for a proper mix that delivers surprises and sort of comfort food, if you will.
Travis DiNicola with Leslie Broker, the president of Broadway in Indianapolis. To find out more about the 2012-2013 season, visit BroadwayInIndianapolis.com. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at OwlStudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter again next Friday at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 4 when I'll find out what's new with the Ballet Theater of Carmel.
I'll find out what the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir is ending its gala 75th anniversary season with.
And I'll get a preview of this year's Spotlight benefit performance. Plus, there will be our arts calendar we call
What'll We Do? So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on WFYI for your information.
You've been listening to The Arts of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you. The Art of the Matter. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's Art of the Matter was produced and edited by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter on 90.1 FM, Indianapolis.